bring in the great Dean Bulldog Richie with this text message from Peaky Pete off the back of Reg, who rang us about 10 minutes before the news there before to tell us about when he used to work on the door at various establishments in the nation's capital in the late 80s, early 90s. And Peaky Pete says, "G'day, boys. I remember years ago Channel 9 doing interviews with Raiders players in the gym. And when they came to Loz, who was bench pressing, he asked if this was going to Sydney. Well, he put another 50 kilos on," says Peaky Pete. Bean Bulldog Richie, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm really, really well. That doesn't surprise me. Lifting those cotton buds again, Laurie.
Yeah. Bigger population.
You were a tosser when you were playing. Let's be honest.
What do you mean?
What do you mean a tosser?
What do you mean when he was playing?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean a tosser?
Oh,
I was an entertainer.
With your shirt off.
Entertain people.
Entertainer.
Slash football player slash entertainer.
Shush,
Tom. I was about making people happy, Bulldog. What? That's a crime, is it? Trying to have a bit of fun? Trying to lighten things up?
I've been a junee.
Someone just get and that on been tape. I was an entertainer.
I've been a junee and been to Laurie's sister's place.
Yeah.
Laurie was there one night. Mm. Just strolls round.
I hope he was there if you went to his sister's place.
It just strolls round, you know, not a whole lot on. I'm thinking, go and put some clothes on. I don't want to see all this. Why do you do that?
What are you walking around in? Just your undies?
Yeah, I like
well, Clarkie.
Your undies.
I'm not even sure they are on,
quite
Clarkie.
Respectful you had those on.
It's like, it's not something I wanted to see.
Nah, he's allergic to washing powder. That's why he can't wear clothes.
Right, okay.
You get an itch when you put like a T-shirt on or
well,
shorts
people
on.
Wear their sluggos at the beach. I can walk around my own house with my undies on.
If guests are there, do you normally walk around in undies?
Yes.
Possibly.
I like it.
In
your own establishments, you know, family's place.
My home,
do whatever
I can
you
do
want.
What I want.
Wasn't your home?
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, wasn't my home.
Let's go for it.
Someone else's home. Yeah.
He came in this morning with a tea bag wrapped in foil as well. So, yeah, he's
an unusual man.
One of a kind.
As I said, I'm an entertainer.
Fair
I
right,
make
fair
people
range.
Laugh.
Fair enough.
I don't do a good job of it, but I'm trying to help.
Brilliant.
Community service.
That's exactly right.
What did you make of round one, Bulldog?
Enjoyed it thoroughly. Thought there was some terrific football. Some games are a little bit substandard, I guess, but there were no blowouts, which was important. I thought, Loz, given what we went through the first few rounds last year when there was a lot of complaints about lopsided scorelines, all the games were tight, as I said, and I think the standard will improve, but I thought four, five, six games were really, really entertaining.
Who surprised you out of round one? And surprising whether they played good or whether they played bad?
Newcastle. I really thought they were terrific against the Roosters. That expansive sideline to sideline was a new style of Newcastle that I haven't really seen a lot of. Maybe it's a new identity that they're trying to secure. I thought the Bulldogs, albeit I thought that game against the Cowboys was poor in terms of standard. I thought their courage through losing four players was pretty damn good, actually, for a club under pressure and a coach under pressure. They showed to me that they were playing for Trent Barrett in that last 15 minutes when they dug in up there in Townsville, in the humidity, in the torrential rain. And for that, you know, I applaud the Dogs. Tough draw. Next 4 weeks is a horror draw for the Dogs, but good on them. They got off to a good start, and I think it's it shows that the support internally is certainly there for Trent Barrett.
What about Melbourne, Bulldog? I know they've been an amazing team over a long period of time, but how heavy are those injuries for them in the first game?
I think they can get away with probably the winger, Jennings, but obviously Christian Walsh will be huge. He's not only a good player, Laurie, but he's their heart and soul, isn't he? In terms of a leader and in terms of a bloke that the young kids turn to. So, yeah, he will be a huge loss. I didn't think Melbourne could win the comp pre-season, and I don't think they can win it now. But, again, how many years have they put egg on all our faces up here in Sydney? Certainly put plenty of egg on my face over the last 20 years. So, never write off Craig Bellamy. Of course, we should point out yet again, as I'm sure you guys have, that 500 games... tomorrow night is just an unbelievable performance. There's only three previously burst through that 500 barrier. That's Brian Smith, your man Tim Sheens, Loz, and of course Wayne Bennett.
And of course he has to he has to let the club know whether he'll take up his option to be the head coach by the end of this month. What are you hearing there? Do you think he will continue on coaching?
I'm not hearing anything official. That you're right, it's March 30. He's supposed to tell the club. Look, it wouldn't surprise me if he wanted a bit more time. I'm sure the Storm would grant him that extension if he needed it. I just worry about Melbourne in terms of who do you bring in next, Laurie? Who the hell can replace Craig Bellamy? Do you go with an old hardhead to bring in, or do you go with a young coach? But if it's a young coach, you know, is it just too much pressure to put on him to follow in Craig Bellamy? It's an enormous assignment for Melbourne to find and secure the right bloke to take over from Bellamy.
Surely it's not a good time for a young coach as well. Like they're losing more players. They've lost over the past 5 years. They're great to the game. It makes sense for Bellamy to walk away now, but it has to be a rebuild for a new coach, surely.
Yeah, but I think with Melbourne, it can be a quick rebuild. As long as they keep Grant, Munster, Pappenhausen.
Is that possible?
And Hughes.
Is that possible?
Yeah, it is possible, yeah. I think they could possibly lose one.
Yeah, I agree.
To the Dolphins yeah. But I think if they keep four, the rebuild is not as long as people will think. I think that'll just happen because I think they've got some really good young kids. We saw a kid the other day, never played first grade, hasn't played in the Queensland Cup or limited number of games in the Queensland Cup, young Alec McDonald, and he handled it with ease. You know, he came on and just played close to 60 minutes and was outstanding for a young man. So they've got the knack of being able to identify the right players that fit into that system. The biggest thing is who will replace him, as we were talking about. I don't know where they go, but I reckon Craig, he's the one that can convince all four of them to stay and keep them in Melbourne. And I reckon if he keeps them all in Melbourne, I reckon they've got another opportunity of winning a comp with those four guys in those key positions.
Is a young coach, would it be too difficult, Laurie, to corral the big personalities in Melbourne, like your Hugheses, your Pappenhausens, your Munsters, etc.? Would that be too difficult an assignment? Or do you think they should go, this of course is dependent on Craig moving on, with a hardened old coach who does have instant respect?
Oh, well, I don't know what their personalities are. And I think if you had Brendan Smith and Cameron Munster going on what, you know, stories have been coming out lately about, you know, how they are on and off the field, it you know, and they're cheeky buggers and, you know, a young coach, that might be a bit difficult to handle. But I think, you know, Munster's obviously turned the corner. He's matured. Smith is moving on. We know that. You know, the other players, I think, with a young coach, I don't know whether they'd necessarily take advantage of a young coach. But I think you've got to have the right person that has that respect, has the knowledge, understands Melbourne's history and what they're about. And he'll be the best person to take over. Look, there's not many experienced coaches that are going to leave where they are to go and coach in Melbourne. They might have to develop within, or they might have someone in mind that they have ready to tap on the shoulder if Craig does in fact let them know that he doesn't want to take up an extension. But they've got time. But yeah, it's a difficult decision whatever happens for Melbourne. It's like any great team, or you know, when someone retires or steps down, they're always difficult to replace. Always difficult to replace.
What's the latest on Sean Russell there after he copped, that awful injury after the try-saving attempt from Jaden Campbell, which we spoke about for a long time here yesterday?
Yeah, I checked on, his well-being last night with Parramatta. He's still in hospital, Middo. The doctors won't know a final diagnosis until Friday. Once that is determined, then Parramatta can release a statement saying how long he will be out for. But I know his family's quite distressed about the whole situation, and it's obviously very sad. Personally, I didn't hear your discussion on this, but I don't think there was... Look, as serious as injury as it was, I thought the right decision was made. And I think in rugby league sometimes, you just have to come to the conclusion that it's a tough, physical, fast game, played at breakneck speed, and injuries happen. We just can't eradicate every injury. You know, it wasn't a great look, to be fair, but...
Is the tackle legal, Bulldog, or illegal?
Well, based on what the match review committee came up with, Clarkey, I guess it was deemed legal because he wasn't charged at all. So, look, it was knees, there's no doubt about it, but it happened in a flash. Mm. Not that that's an excuse, but, you know, I thought they came to the right conclusion personally.
Mm. Yeah, we spoke about this on the program yesterday. A lot of people thought that we were wrong, but I agree with you. I thought it was an accident, and we have to come to terms with the fact that the game is fast, it's tough, and things can happen very quickly, and you'll always have accidents in the game. And the game is doing a great job in trying to limit injuries that players receive, but there's no doubt that you can't stop every injury. You just can't.
And the match review's got to have a common sense approach too, Laurie, and I think they did in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought they made the correct decision. Well, if he comes across and, you know, I don't want to get into it again, but I thought he comes across, Russell goes down low, he's trying to stop him, he leans forward with his arms, and then his body just slides and collects young Russell in the ribs. And again, I feel sorry for him, and, you know, it's nasty what's happened to him.
Gutho said it perfectly yesterday. He said he would have done the exact same thing. As a fullback, it's what you're trained to do. It's a horrible accident, but there's nothing else you could do. No.
And for Jaden Campbell, it's something that he might look at now and go, well, next time that happens, I'm not going to do that. You know, and then coach might say to him, mate, you know, this is unacceptable. Mm. This is a better way to try and
stop. Is there a better way, Loz?
That's the other thing.
Let him score.
I'd have to think about seeing and identifying if someone goes in that low, what else do you do?
And you got 80 kilos trying to tackle 95
and kilos. And the other thing is, it's in the heat of the battle too. Mm. You're thinking about trying to stop a try as the last man. You're not thinking about anything else other than trying to get across there and have a tackle. But, you know, the match review agreed with us. I'm sure there'll be other instances this year where we will sit here and won't agree with what the match review has done, and that's everyone's opinion. But on this occasion, I think they got it right.
Greg Hartley, former referees, have again been affected by floods.
Yeah, I wrote a story in today's Telegraph about this. It's really sad. Poor old Hollywood lives up there at a caravan park now at Leitts Bar, which is about 83 k's northwest of Sydney. And yet again, last March and now this March, he's been flooded, the caravan park up there, which has got 64 cabins in it. 61 of them were trashed. So poor old Holly is holed up in one of the three cabins that remains unaffected. But the story was that yesterday he was trying to get rid of all this mud out of this disaster zone up there. And in walked Tony Abbott, the former Prime Minister, who was working for the Davidson RFS. And next minute, Hollywood said, I can't get down on the floor because I've got a bad back. And there was Tony Abbott scrubbing Hartley's floor, trying to tidy up his cabin. So that was a nice touch. Hmm. But I feel a bit sorry for Hollywood. He's a couple of times now in 2 years, he's had some terrible misfortune through rain. And he's a lovely bloke, Greg, and I know he does listen. So if he's listening, we're all thinking of you, Hollywood. And hopefully you can get back to normal up there. I've been up to his caravan parks right on the Hawkesbury River. It's an idyllic place, but clearly it's prone to flooding.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah, no, we feel for everyone that's been affected over the last couple of weeks. Never seen rain like it. And, you know, a lot of people have been affected over the last couple of years. And, you know, there's not much we can do other than to say we're thinking about them and we try and support them as best we possibly can.
We'll take a quick break. If you've got a question for Bulldog, give us a call, 13 53 53. Yes, footy season is back. You'll never miss a moment with KO Sports, the team you love every game, every round, live and ad break free in play. No annoying ad breaks while the game is on. How good is that? All the match-winning tries, high-flying heroics, bone-crunching hits every game, every round. Don't sell yourself short this season. New to KO? Start your free trial today. Dean Bulldog Richie joining us. Just take us through the NRLW expansion as well, Bulldog.
Yeah, it was announced yesterday by Andrew Abdo. The NRL very excited by this. Just very briefly, you know, the six teams this year will go to eight for 2023 and then up to 10 for 2024. Two-game origin series next year, minimum wage increases, private health for all players and rep money increases. So I know South Sydney are one that have lodged an application, Loz, to be part of that eight-team comp next year. So certainly the women's game is on the rise, and a lot of clubs out there want to get involved and have female sides in that NRLW competition.
Michael, morning to you.
Good morning, boys. Morning, Bulldog. How are you going?
G'day, Michael.
Just wondering, what's the chances of we having an under-18 women's reserve grade and first grade all at one game, one venue on one day? Is that ever going to happen again, you reckon?
Are you talking women or men, Michael?
No, women. One game and then under-18 for boys, reserves, and then first grade.
So you have the full slate.
So four grades. Oh, look, it's certainly possible. I think, you know, time would be an issue. What time you'd have to kick off that fourth game would be fairly early. But I have no doubt that, you know, there will be a lot of those NRLW games that may be prelim games. But I think they want to stand on their own two feet, to be truthful, Michael. I don't think they necessarily want to be sidekicks to the men. I think they want to be their own entity and they want to have their own time slots, and I think that will happen. But as for the three grades, I'm a bit of an old fan of the three grades from, you know, when I grew up in the 80s, Loz, a bit like you. Having said that, I do always have a chuckle at the amount of people that said I was there for all three grades. When I remember arriving there for the under-23s and there was about eight people there. Yeah. But anyway, I think you always look back through rose-coloured glasses, don't you?
Good on you, Michael. Thanks for the call, mate. On the text line, Locke from DY. No Tigers controversy this week, boys. How good, Clarkey? Any Caelan Ponga news, Bulldog?
I checked around yesterday with some people well connected at the Dolphins, and they haven't given up. There was a theory that Caelan Ponga will definitely stay. I think he will stay, but certainly in the eyes of the Dolphins, until he signs, they will keep on punching. Look, how Newcastle fare this year is another indicator. Was if they make the finals, that would make it more attractive to Caelan.
For me, the most impressive thing about Newcastle's performance against the Roosters was the fact, well, there was a couple. One they defended really well, but the other one was Caelan really was very quiet in that game by his standards and what we know he can do. So that tells me that other people are evolving and they're not just relying on Caelan, whereas last year, their attack was just based all around him. If he didn't do anything, no one else had any other opportunity. Like, he was either scoring them or creating them. And on the weekend, there was other players that were getting their hands on the ball. They created offloads. They moved the opposition around. And he wasn't the star. So I think that's a good pointer to the future because...
Is that Andrew Johns, do you think?
Well... I think it's the style of footy, yeah. But again, it was only tested in one game. You've got to test it over a period of time. But, I mean, coming up against the premiership favourites, or one of the premiership favourites in the Roosters, and you only concede 6 points, you put 20 on them, and, you know, the style of footy looked good. You know, it was different to what we've seen Newcastle play before, and they weren't relying on Caelan. So you think if they can play that type of footy, and then Caelan can... Yeah, do his magic. They'll be winning more games off the back of that one game.
There was a rumour around yesterday, the Dolphins and Ben Hunt. So I did my due diligence, rang, and there wasn't a whole lot of interest.
For the first time?
Yeah. Thank you, Laurie. Smart Alec. But look, Ben Hunt's still got 2 years to go, so no one can make an offer anyway now, even if there is interest. He'd be 33 when he finishes. So he's at that awkward age, I guess, where he hasn't finished, but they may not want to sign him long term. But certainly the rumour was pretty strong that he might end up at Redcliffe in a couple of years' time. But I checked with the Dolphins and they said, look, you know, he would be at an age where they wouldn't be that interested and that they might have young halves in place by then. But it's certainly one to watch.
So the one for me with the Dolphins, I still believe they'll either get a Caelan Ponga or they'll get one of a Grant or a Munster from Melbourne. I can't believe they won't get one of them. I just think that they'll go all out. And they've got a bit more, they've got more cash to spend than any other club. They've got more money available. And if it comes to dollars, I think they'll be able to drag one of those players out of their organisation they're with at the moment and become the marquee player for the Dolphins.
Not just football-wise, Laurie. I think they really need the face of a new club. They need someone on the billboards. They need someone to drive sponsorship and merchandise and marketing and fan engagement. And They need that good-looking young style of a player that can be the one that they stick up on the billboards all around Redcliffe and say, get on board this club. This is a superstar that's in town. I think that's just as important.
Yeah. And the fact that they're a Queenslander as well.
Correct.
You know, all three of those players.
Thank you, Bulldog.
Thank you for having me again.